Hi, guys. You are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. And today I am joined by the host of the Locked On Panthers podcast, Julian Council. He's going to talk with us about the Panthers offseason, what's at stake for this upcoming season as we continue our look around the NFC South, looking at our division rivals.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. I've been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong, however, on Twitter at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's episode is the second part of our NFC South summer series, where we look at our division rivals in the NFC South, look at their offseason moves, look at some of the big transactions and how it could wind up impacting this upcoming season. And today I'm of course joined by Julian Council, the host of the Locked On Panthers. Yesterday we talked with Ross Jackson of the Locked On Saints podcast. Go check that out if you're curious to hear how bad Taysom Hill is going to be. And today's with Julian, we talk about, you know, what Sam Darnold's going to be like and what this Panthers offense could be, given the concerns and question marks at the quarterback position as well as the offensive line, and whether this Panthers team and their defense is poised to really sort of carry the burden this year, unlike last year, with the additions they made a year ago in the draft as well as the additions that they made this offseason in the draft and free agency. And we'll get into all of that on today's Locked On Falcons podcast, but we're going to be spending quite a bit of time talking about various Panthers players that could wind up having breakout seasons or possibly disappointing seasons. And of course, there's another place where you can get that sort of insight, not only on the Carolina Panthers, but on all NFL teams. And that is, of course, the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast hosted by Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News. Vinny gives you that daily edge that you need, giving you all the data that you need, help you win your fantasy league and make sure that your fantasy squad never fails. Subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Football podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. So without further ado, let's jump into the conversation with Julian Council, talking quite a bit about Sam Darnold and whether or not he's the answer for the Panthers at the quarterback position. All right, guys, you're Locked On Falcons, and I am joined by another illustrious guest. I'm joined by Julian Council, the new host of the Locked On Panthers podcast, and he's going to be here with us continuing our series looking at the Falcons' NFC South rivals, talking about their offseason moves, their training camp battles, and sort of some of the things that we should keep an eye out ahead of this upcoming 2021 season for these rival teams. But Julian, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron, brother. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Doing great. How you doing?
Good. I'm good. Glad to be talking to you. I know Falcons, NFC South rival. So interested to kind of talk to you about the Panthers and how you guys feel about your team coming in 2021. Neither one of us are going to win the NFC South. We both know that. It's just I think we're trying to avoid being in last place, right?
Yeah, shooting for second place. That's the goal, right? It yeah. seems like it's a little bit up for grabs given where the Saints are. You know, we'll find out. But given the changes that they've had. So maybe there's a chance for one of these teams to snatch second place. But getting into the Panthers offseason moves, you know, the biggest move that they made this offseason was making that change of the quarterback position, moving on from Teddy Bridgewater after 1 year, bringing in Sam Darnold from the New York Jets. There's been a lot of talk about Sam Darnold in terms of the untapped potential as well as the struggles that he's had the last couple of years in New York. I'm guessing in your eyes, we're going to sort of discover what the real Sam Darnold is this upcoming season in Carolina. Either he'll be that guy that was considered by many folks to be potentially the best quarterback in that 2018 draft class, or he'll continue to be the quarterback that we've seen in New York the last couple of years, which has been one of the league's least productive quarterbacks. So from your perspective, which Sam Darnold do you expect to see this upcoming season in Carolina? And is this Panthers team going to be committed to him for the foreseeable future, or are they still kind of in a wait and see mode, similar to how they wound up being with Teddy Bridgewater?
I think that the hope is that Sam Darnold, who just turned 24, former top three pick with the New York Jets coming out of USC, the hope is that he's going to end up being the long-term option here in Carolina, that he can deliver them a Super Bowl one day. Now, I always say that hope is not a plan. Certainly, you can hope and wish and want all these things to happen. But what we've seen so far throughout his 3 years in the league, whether it's been under Todd Bowles in New York for his rookie season, the last two seasons under Adam Gase in the New York Jets, Sam Darnold's been a bad quarterback. Yes, there are absolutely reasons for that. The lack of wide receiver talent outside of basically Jamison Crowder and Robbie Anderson, who the Jets didn't even attempt to re-sign last season, who then comes to Carolina, has a career year with Teddy Bridgewater as his quarterback. The offensive line was terrible. You get a new GM in Joe Douglas, who's at least tried to build something in his one-plus year there in New York. There was just a complete dumpster fire of an organization in New York Jets. And Sam Darnold didn't necessarily show that many flashes of being a guy that can actually be a franchise quarterback in the NFL. So my expectation for Darnold is certainly to be better. You would imagine he would be when you have Christian McCaffrey, who I believe is the best running back in the league. And if you want to argue anyone else, fine. Derrick Henry, sure. Top two either way. You have Robbie Anderson. You have DJ Moore, who's had back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons with the likes of a Cam Newton on a bum shoulder, Kyle Allen, Will Greer, P.J. Walker, and Teddy Bridgewater throwing to him. And he's put up back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving season. So I think the guy's pretty good. You also add in Dan Arnold. The big question is the offensive line. I expect Darnold to be better, but I also expect the Carolina Panthers to be back in 2022. You and I having a similar conversation about what new quarterback is going to fit in for the Carolina Panthers. I don't see him as the answer. I don't think he's going to prove to be much better, if even an upgrade at all, than Teddy Bridgewater. If you look at his NFL career, he's never been better than Bridgewater. You back to college, he's never been better than Bridgewater. So why would I think that now, in his offense, he's going to be any better than Teddy Bridgewater? I don't have a ton of confidence in Sam Darnold. The Panthers do, at least for this season. They did pick up his fifth-year option after they decided to bypass on a quarterback there at 8 in the NFL draft. So he's their guy this year. But as we saw last season, Teddy got, what, 6, 3 years, $63 million, and he's gone. So they're going to be willing to move on, especially if Deshaun Watson's legal troubles clear up and they can find a way to trade for him, because the Carolina Panthers are in a hunt for a franchise quarterback. And owner David Tepper said, even before the season was over last year, that if you don't have one, you have to always be in a constant pursuit of one. And if Sam Darnold is approved to be that guy this year, they'll move on and find someone else next season, without a doubt in my mind.
Now, you mentioned the Jets offensive line, but the Panthers offensive line has been pretty problematic these last couple of years. And I'm curious, do you perceive the additions that they've made in adding players like Cam Irving and Pat Elflein in free agency, as well as drafting Brady Christensen and Deonte Brown? You know, are these going to help solve the issues that they've had up front, this year and beyond?
Hopefully. I don't have great confidence. I mean, all I can say is hopefully. Yeah, I mean, outside of Taylor Moton, the Panthers' right tackle, who they are either going to extend or they're not, I have no idea. He's on a franchise tag. He's the only reliable guy in this offensive line. You bring back John Miller at right guard. He was fine last year, but again, it's just another one-year deal. Then at center, Matt Paradis. This is his last year for the Carolina Panthers, as they'll move on. And potentially a guy like Pat Elflein, who you mentioned, could transition as a center, which he played back at Ohio State and when he first came in the league for the Minnesota Vikings. But it was just mind-boggling to me that in the first day of the legal tampering period, which is also a very dumb name, legal tampering, but either way, the first day that you could sign players, the first two signings for the Carolina Panthers were Pat Elflein, who was a bust in Cleveland, terrible in Kansas City, and banged up and injured, and also bad in Dallas last season. And then Pat Elflein, who wasn't good with the Vikings and was very poor in protection last year for Sam Darnold in New York, that those are your first two signings. I appreciate the effort when trying to address the offensive line and get younger there. I appreciate that these guys have positional flexibility, which is something the Panthers really want in offensive linemen, which they're going to get in Brady Christensen, who played left tackle. But right now, Matt Rhule says he can play all four positions outside of center, and he sees him more as a right tackle or right guard right now. And Deonte Brown and even David Moore, the UDFA out of Grambling State, who probably would have gone drafted had they not opted out of the season. I appreciate the effort. Will the offensive line be better than last year? I doubt it. I hope it is. But the guys that they brought in don't necessarily inspire a ton of confidence for the Carolina Panthers heading into 2021. And they certainly need a better offensive line if Sam Darnold wants to be able to regain any confidence that he had when he came into the league with the New York Jets, that he certainly lost in the last couple of years playing behind a porous Jets offensive line.
Well, it's interesting you say all that, because it's reminiscent of some of the big, bold moves the Falcons made on the long their offensive line in 2019 by getting James Carpenter and Jamon Brown, and those moves didn't quite work out. I know for Panthers fans that may be listening, they hope that the Carolina will have more success than Atlanta did. Obviously, Falcon fans are wishing that the Panthers go right down the same path that the Falcons did, and it winds up not working out for them. But we're going to continue this conversation, flipping sides of the ball, and talk about this Panthers defense and the potential upgrades they've made and the progress that they've made this offseason on that side of the ball, coming up with here with Julian Council, the host of the Locked On Panthers podcast. But before we get there, guys, you know, we're not the only podcast talking about Sam Darnold here on Locked On Falcons, as he was a recent topic of discussion on the Peacock and Williamson podcast, where NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you their insights on all 32 NFL teams every day. And you can find the Peacock and Williamson podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, because BetOnline gives you the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. And there's no time like now to get started at BetOnline. The NBA playoffs are ongoing. You have the British Open and Summer Olympics coming up. And of course, baseball season is in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. And it's not just sports, since BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That means if you deposit $500, you get $250 in free money to play with that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So continuing our conversation about the Panthers offseason with Julian Council, the host of the Locked On Panthers podcast, switching to the defensive side of the ball, the Panthers famously devoted their entire 2020 draft class to that side of the ball, and then added another big piece in this year's draft class in cornerback J.C. Horn at the top of round one. They also picked up free agents like Hassan Reddick and Denzel Perriman and A.J. Bouye. In your eyes, will it be more important for the Panthers' defensive success in 2021, will it be the growth and improvement of those 2020 investments, or is it going to be the players that they've added in 2021?
Yeah, here's the thing too. Like, I'm sure people listening to that first segment are like, well, this guy certainly does not have a lot of excitement at the offense. Well, mainly just the offensive line and quarterback. I think all the pieces around the quarterback are fine. I'm excited about this defense. And to answer your question, I think probably the insertion of some of those veteran pieces is what's going to make this defense better. Last year, they were a super young team. The Panthers are the youngest roster in the NFL, period, across the board. When you add in A.J. Bouye, who's going to miss the first two games of the season because of the PED suspension he has that dates back to last season, when you add him, a former Pro Bowler, you bring in Hassan Reddick, who last year, this time, the Cardinals were planning on moving off of him after the season, which, of course, they did, mainly just because, you know, we got a deal in Carolina. But he had a great season last year getting after the passer. You put him opposite of Brian Burns, who I think could be a Pro Bowler this year. That's only going to make him better. You bring in Daquan Jones, who's a solid starter for six seasons in Tennessee, and you put him next to Derrick Brown, the first-rounder for the Carolina Panthers in 2020. It's only going to make him better. Not having Kawan Short last year, I think, really stunted his development and growth throughout the season to be at least take a little bit of attention off of him. I think the added veterans, you bring in Denzel Perriman as well, wearing 52. The guy who wore 52 last year, Tahir Whitehead, was terrible. It's like he had no idea what he's doing out there half the time, and people wouldn't even say his name. He was just noted. He was always called 52. That's how the disrespect that people in the Carolina Panthers nation had for that guy. So you bring in Denzel Perriman, who's been nothing but a solid starter every year. He's been healthy back with the Chargers. I think this defense has a chance to be really good with those veterans next to some of the young guys that they brought in last year. And even before that, and Brian Burns, Derrick Brown, Vitor Grosmatos, who wasn't healthy last season, Jeremy Chinn, who might be the most versatile player on this entire Panthers roster. All those guys, it's only going to make this defense better for a defense that really started showing some promise towards the end of last season after a little shaky start there when they had a run of former Super Bowl winning quarterbacks or MVPs.
Now, I think I kind of know the answer based off of your answers to my previous questions. But, you know, I want to know, what do you expect to be this team's identity this upcoming season? I think last year with all the question marks they had and the youth that they had on the defensive side of the ball, and I think a lot of people were very excited about all the firepower. And you already mentioned that at the running back, at the wide receiver position, and couple that with Joe Brady coming into the league and calling plays. And a lot of people had a lot of hope for that Panthers offense to be able to, you know, put up points to keep that team competitive. Do you feel like even with some of the question marks that they have at positions like quarterback and on along the offensive line, they can still maintain that sort of identity? Or is this a team that will start to shift to be more of that defensive driven team, maybe a team that more fits the mold of their head coach in terms of toughness and physicality, and be more like those Panther teams of yesteryear under Ron Rivera that were much more known for their high level defensive team?
Yeah, I mean, let's go back to just the beginning of just the Carolina Panthers organization. You got guys like Kevin Green, RIP, who's in the Hall of Fame. Reggie White, RIP, who's in the Hall of Fame. Now, they didn't make their hay here in Carolina, but those were defensive stalwarts throughout their careers, and they come to Carolina. You add in Julius Peppers over the years, Brinson Buckner, Mike Rucker. You have Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis. This is a defensive organization. Like, that's what the Panthers are known for, is having a salty defense, which is something that I've had the last couple of seasons. And I think they can finally get back to that, especially with what they've added at cornerback. You can also go with J.C. Horn in the draft and then bring back Dante Jackson, who's in a contract year. And those things are typically undefeated in terms of the guys putting up career production. If you look at the offense the last season, Teddy Bridgewater might not be here anymore, but he did help lead an offense that had four guys who had over 1,000 yards from scrimmage. Curtis Samuel, no longer here with the Washington football team. Mike Davis, not down there in Atlanta, did yeoman's work filling in for Christian McCaffrey, who missed 13 games last season. DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson are both back. And you add in Terrace Marshall, McCaffrey's back. What's to say that you can't have another season like that offensively in terms of production from those wide receivers and with McCaffrey? So I expect the offense to still put up yards. It's not really about yards anymore. It's really about how many, you know, when you get to the red zone, can you convert? And they couldn't convert last year. And at the end of games, they weren't able to go down the field and either win or tie. In those situations, they were 0 for 8. So I think that's really what they want to see change this upcoming season. They'll put up yardage, absolutely. But will they score in key parts of and time and on the field? I don't know. We'll see. But in terms of identity, I think the identity of this football team is going to be the defense. And we'll see what happens with the quarterback and with the offensive line and whether that they can produce more big plays and come up with in bigger spots than they were last season. Because there's also a team that couldn't get off the field defensively. I think they'll be able to do that and more this year, especially for a team that also couldn't really get off the passer last year after being one of the top two teams in the league behind New England back in 2019.
So we've gotten Julian's thoughts on both the offense, defense, and identity. And I want to wrap up today's Locked On Falcons podcast by talking about, you know, some of the key training camp battles as we gear up for training camp later this month, here with Julian Council, the host of the Locked On Panthers podcast. But before we get there, guys, even though things may be gearing up for the NFL, things are winding down a little bit for the NBA. And of course, that doesn't mean that the NBA season is over, as you can find a daily podcast devoted to your favorite NBA team, whether your team is one of the two NBA finalists or your team is already gearing up for their offseason. And you can find them all on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So guys, did you know that Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market, has several delicious flavors? Whether you're a big fan of the coconut almond like me, or you would prefer mint brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, double chocolate, salted caramel, coconut or raspberry, there's something for everyone. And there's also occasional limited time flavors. They just had the grasshopper cookie. They've had the German chocolate cake already this summer. They have the orange and strawberry flavors on sale now all summer long. You can try them all with a mix box, and you'll want to in order to get that healthy snack that tastes just like a candy bar with none of the guilt. It tastes just like a candy bar because all Built Bars contain 100% real chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. My favorite, the coconut almond, tastes just like an almond doy. The strawberry flavor is another one that I highly recommend. What's a better combination than strawberries and chocolate? But it's not just about their great taste. Built Bars are healthy too. They're low in sugar and calories, high in protein and fiber. You can try them all by heading over to BuiltBar.com using the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So we're continuing our conversation here with Julian Council, the host of the Locked On Panthers podcast. And basically, Julian, my last question for you is, looking at some of these training camp battles, you know, is there one entering this summer, one position group, one, you know, battle that could wind up helping to determine this Panthers team's success this upcoming season?
Yeah, the left tackle position is the main concern. Going into the draft, I was sitting here telling Panther fans, Penei Sewell or Riot. Now, the Detroit Lions, they were in front of the Panthers, and they decided that they wanted to draft Penei Sewell, which was a great move by them. I hate that he's playing right tackle, and the Panthers desperately could use a left tackle. But either way, Detroit did what was best for them. So they decided not to get a left tackle until Brady Christensen in the third round. And we later found out, in a Panthers YouTube series titled Panthers Confidential, the Panthers had him graded out as a second-round guard and third-round tackle, which does not lead me to believe that they want to start him day one at left tackle. Likely, the day one starter is going to be Cam Irving. Trent Scott, who filled in a lot of times last year when, who I affectionately know as the rent-a-tackle, Russell Okung went down for a large part of last season. Trent Scott beat out Greg Little, who formerly was brought in the second round. They traded up for him to be the starting left tackle of the future. That has not panned out. So that position battle is the one I'm really looking forward. I think left guard likely is going to be Pat Elflein after the amount of times he started so far in the league, and I think they can at least get by with him. And I don't imagine – maybe Deontay Brown wins that position, but his weight is going to be the big question mark for him coming out of Alabama. So left tackle, that's the question mark. Tight end, Dan Arnold certainly going to make the team. Tommy Trimble certainly going to make the team. I would imagine they're going to carry a third tight end in Ian Thomas, who has potential but really hasn't shown it to the full extent that the Carolina Panthers want to see. So we'll see if he's able to do that coming up this season. It's not much of a battle at this point in time because Dante Jackson is going to start the first 2 weeks of the season because A.J. Boye is going down. I'm just curious, just moving forward, if Dante's last season, Boye being a former Pro Bowler, if maybe A.J. Boye becomes kind of that number one guy for the Carolina Panthers. And a team doesn't really have a number one guy. And I think that's what the draft pick of J.C. Horn is meant to be. So there's that. The kicker situation with Joey Slide needs to get figured out. Now, this is kind of funny, though. You look at position battles. Long snapper. The Panthers drafted a long snapper in Thomas Fletcher in the sixth round out of Alabama. He was a long snapper of the year last year in college football. And they have a guy in J.J. Jansen, the longest tenure Panther. He's up there in age. I don't think it's going to be a battle because you don't draft a guy in the sixth round to be a long snapper and then keep the guy who's like 35 on the roster. So that's kind of one of the funny ones. But really, left tackle, the kicker situation, which has been terrible. Letting Graham Gano go was a horrible decision. I know a lot of Panther fans were frustrated by the misses that he had. But here, throughout this franchise's kind of existence, they've always typically had good kicking with John Casey and Graham Gano. The last 2 years have been abominable kicking situations. So, yeah, left tackle, kicking situation, long snapper kind of as a joke, and then seeing how things play out at corner. That would be if there's any kind of position battles and tight end. Those would be the ones to look forward to in about – in a week or two, whatever, down in Spartanburg, South Carolina, on the campus of Wofford College.
Well, Julian, I appreciate you sharing your insights into this Panthers team and what's at stake this summer as well as this season. Let the listeners know where they can find your stuff and what you got coming up for them on Locked On Panthers over the next couple of days and weeks.
Yeah, well, we're close to training camp, so you're definitely going to be talking even more about camp battles, what to expect out of Sam Darnold. That's the key conversation, expectations for this team in year two of Matt Rhule. You can check me out on Twitter at Julian Council. Also, you can find the podcast, like you can find Aaron's podcast, Locked On Falcons, and all the podcasts part of the Locked On Podcast Network, pretty much wherever you get your podcast from. So, yeah, rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars only. If you don't give me 5 stars, then obviously you're a hater. So, no, but yeah, I got a lot of exciting stuff. So, if you guys are ever curious what's going on with the team up 85 North, and the team that's, you know, going to obviously finish ahead of you in the NFC South this year. Please okay. Check me out.
Okay. All right. Just for that, you're getting 2 stars. Julian, I really do appreciate, look forward to the upcoming matchups, getting a chance to sort of see how these various topics that we've discussed already on the podcast play out as we get further into the season and get to talk, you know, about football once more come this fall.
Can't wait. It's been way too long. Let's go ahead and get it.
So there you guys have it. Julian Council of the Locked On Panthers podcast, part 2 of a 3-part series and in our NFC South summer series, looking at the division rivals in the NFC South and see what's going on with their offseason, some of the big question marks as we get into the season. We try to make you guys experts, not only on the Falcons on this podcast, but at least experts on the teams that you see quite a bit, twice a year during the season, so that you can, you're informed about these teams. So we got one more to go, saving the best for last with the Buccaneers. That will be up next week, and we'll get one of the hosts of the Locked On Bucs to provide their insight to see sort of if the Bucs are vulnerable this year. I think everybody expects them to be the runaway favorite in this division. We'll see if Locked On Bucs feels like there's any vulnerabilities that teams can exploit. Probably spoiler alert, probably not. But we'll find out when we get to that. And that leaves us with a day this week to wrap up this week by getting back into the topic at hand, which is the Falcons. And we'll get back into our training camp previews, and we'll get you guys geared up for the special teams, the most important phase of the game. You know how much it matters, at least in my eyes. And we'll talk about, not necessarily the position battles at the kicker, punter, and we'll probably talk about the return specialist group. And we'll also talk about the coverage unit and sort of who has an opportunity to really sort of help their chances of sticking on the roster if they can make hay in terms of their special teams coverage. And we'll talk about that coming up on tomorrow's podcast. But in the meantime, guys, if you have any feedback that you want to provide me, any questions you want to ask me, of course, you can hit me up anytime on Twitter at Locked On Falcons, on Facebook at Locked On Falcons, or you can send an email to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. Appreciate it, guys. Till then.